volunteers, Riley and Jack? Yeah. Right, you come and stand here.
I'll go the other side.
Yeah, go on, go with the other side then. Okay, so, can you lift that up? What is that? Anyone tell me? A tick? Anyone tell me? Okay, so I've got some questions for you. Brandon, thank you. Got some questions for you this morning. There was something about Joshua. Why do you think God chose Joshua? So if you have a listen to the questions and the answers, it might give you a clue and you can help me at the end. Why did God choose Joshua? So in chapter 1 of Joshua, you won't have heard this yet, the Lord said to Joshua, be bold and very courageous. Now then, would you say Joshua's bold and courageous? Could we give him a tick or wasn't he? What do you reckon?
Tick.
Tick? Hold the tick up. Sorry, Jack, you lost out. Okay. So in chapter 5, verse 15, we read how Joshua met a commander of the army of the Lord. And he said to him, Joshua, take your sandals off, because this is holy ground. Now, were you paying attention to the reading? Did Joshua take his sandals off? So what have we got? A tick? Yeah. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 2. Joshua was instructed to get his mighty men of valor and the priests to walk around the walls of Jericho once for 6 days. Did he do that? Tick or a cross? Tick. Yes, he did. And then on the seventh day, after walking, he was told to walk 7 times round. Brandon, you're worse than children. On the seventh day, he was asked to walk 7 times round. Tick or a cross? Tick. Thank you. And then on the seventh day, walking round, they were told to blow the trumpets and shout. Did they do that? Tick or a cross? Okay. Oh, you haven't had to use you too long, have you? What a shame. Okay. So I was thinking, what was the theme? Can you think what it was about Joshua? Why would God choose Joshua? Anyone have any ideas? Does what he's told. Thank you, Mercy. Good job, Mercy's here. He did. Now then, if I was to go round the room, kids, do you do what your parents tell you? Yep. Yes, of course you do. Adults, do you always do what you're told? Wives, do you always do what your husbands tell you? No, don't answer that. Husbands, do you do what your wives tell you? But even more serious, if God speaks to us, do we do, could we have a tick because we do what God tells us to do? Amen. Abigail, I'm glad you do. Okay. So I was thinking, what are some of the enemies we may face today for us in our daily lives? What are the enemies we have to fight? Now, we don't have the spears. We don't, well, they wouldn't have had guns, but in this, some places, they do have guns when they go to war. We haven't got any weapons in the natural. But we have something much better, which Joshua had as well, or it's a he. He had the Lord who fought for him. If you listen to some of those scriptures that were read out, it's gone quiet. There were some things in there about how we fight. We don't fight with the weapons of warfare of the flesh. We fight in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6, it says, we don't fight with swords and spears, but we fight spiritually and mighty for pulling down strongholds. Now, would we get a cross or a tick? Do we use our weapon? There's only one weapon, one offensive weapon in Ephesians 6. It gives us the armor of God. Can you tell me what's the one offensive weapon, Leanne? It's the sword. And what is the sword representative of? Can anyone tell me? The Bible. The sword's drawn. The word of God. We don't fight with our hands, with our fists, with guns, with spears. We fight with the word of God. Yeah? And when God tells us to do something, if we're like Joshua, guess what? We'll see the walls coming down. Now, I've got a couple of suggestions this morning. You're okay, kids, actually. I've finished with the tick and cross. But, you know, a lot of people suffer with fear. I did when I was a teenager. I suffered with fear. And I combat it with the Word of God. And there's a great scripture. I used to give it to my kids when they started school. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "We have not inherited a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind." And I used to write it on a little card. It went in their blazer pocket. Off they went to school. And I said, if you ever get a bit nervous, a bit frightened, go in the toilets, get your sword out and read it. And they did. And they learnt it. It works. Well, we can do the same. If you're suffering with fear this morning, that is an excellent word to proclaim. And use it like a sword. So when that fear comes, you say, no, I have not inherited that fear. I have not. I have inherited love, power, and a sound mind. Or some of the other things that we might be struggling financially. We had a very bad time in our business a few years ago. And we thought we were going to lose everything. And we started fighting with our weapon. And the weapon the Lord gave us was Ephesians 3:20. And it says, the Lord will make more abundantly than you can ask or imagine. And I started using my weapon every morning. Lord, I'm declaring you can do exceedingly, abundantly more than I can ask or even imagine. And we used it as a weapon, and God delivered us from that time. There's other things we could find. If you worry, if you're a worrier about things. In Matthew and Luke, it says, do not worry. Look at the birds, how no one has to feed them, but God feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. No one has to clothe them, but God clothes them. Why worry? But we do, don't we? But we can use our sword against those weapons, and we can see those strongholds coming down. You see, the biggest, I think, enemy to us is our mind. Who would agree? Because we get a little thought and it goes off, doesn't it? Or someone might say something to you, and they probably don't mean anything, but all of a sudden you've worked out they hate you, they can't stand you, they must be talking about you. And what you've got to do is take that thought, it says in 2 Corinthians, you've got to take it captive, and you've got to get rid of it. You've got to throw it down. Take that word captive. Anything that wants to exalt itself above God. So anything Satan would whisper in your ear this morning, don't do that. And I was thinking of Joshua. If God had said to you, right, you're going to defeat that city, Joshua. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I've got my spear. I'm ready to defeat it. Ah, but I want you to walk around the city once every day for 6 days, carrying horns, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around 7 times and then shout. Well, if you said that to you, I mean, we might think we're a bit bonkers. What will people think, Lord, if we do that? Do you really want me to do that? Do you really want me to do something stupid like that? But you know, God may ask us. He may say, I remember when I was 13, probably your ages, and I'd just become a Christian. And one night I was praying and the Lord said, I want you to pray for a lady who's been put in prison. And I thought, that's a bit strange, Lord. I don't know a lady who's been put in prison. But I was obedient. I started praying for a lady in prison. And every night I would pray, Lord, please help this lady. And then after a while, I got in touch with Open Doors. And they used to send a sheet out for Christians who were put in prison for their faith. And I got a pen and I sort of went like that and put a dot in this pen. And there was a lady called Anna Chakova who had been put in prison in Russia because she was a Christian. And I started writing to her, and I continued to pray for a lady who had gone into prison. And then in 1985, which was probably about, well, no, a bit before that, when Gorbachev came to power, I wrote a letter to President Gorbachev about Anna Chakova, and I said, please, would you let her out of prison in my innocence? Well, Perestroika, if you remember, came about, and we got the news that everyone was praying for Anna Chakova to be released from prison. And I went to Keswick, and there on a board in Keswick, they had her testimony. Now, She went into prison, and I used to keep a diary all the time. The day the Lord asked me to pray for a lady who had gone into prison. How incredible is that? He knew Anna Chekhova, I didn't. But I had to be obedient. So I just feel the Lord is saying to us this morning, if God asks you to do something, let's be a Joshua and let's do it. And we will see success. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, boys. We're going to finish with what we've got. Great is our God, the splendor of the King.